Welcome to Gardens for Everybody. Today we have the good fortune of interviewing our Barrhaven East councillor, Wilson Lowe. Welcome.
And I'm here too, and thank you very much for joining us today. We really appreciate it because I know you have a very busy schedule. And we just wanted to start by asking you a little bit about running for office. What inspired you to run for office in the first place?
Well, in 2022, I was working at OC Transpo. And my role at that time was sort of the liaison between councillors' offices and management. So at that time, I got really good insight into all the stuff that was going on behind the scenes when we had all the worst of the LRT troubles. And we were starting to see some of the problems with the bus network that's happening now. It started around then. So we were starting to see some of those problems too. So at that time, a lot of that was what pushed me to maybe run. And then I also thought, I care about this community. I like where I live. And I've always just been interested in municipal politics anyway. I never thought I would actually do it because I'm generally an introverted person. But, obviously it was enough to push me to actually do it. And I'm very grateful that I was successful in that.
Yeah, well, good for you. That's amazing. I really admire people who actually, put their thoughts into action and do something at the political level, because it's very hard to do that, I think. How long have you been a councillor for now?
We're approaching 3 years. So yeah, we were approaching 3 years in November. So there's one more year before you have to go back out there.
Right.
Knock on doors again.
Yeah, that must be so much work as well. Just the point to getting elected in the first place must be really difficult.
It is, but it's incredibly rewarding because when I started running, I thought that was going to be the tough part, but actually that became the easy part. Like, I enjoyed the door knocking so much. I enjoy chatting with people a lot. Wow. That the questionnaires that all these interest groups sent in, that became the difficult part because I had to do that after. I had to, spend 30 minutes, an hour to fill in those questionnaires, justify my answers. And at that time, I'm brand new. I've never been in politics before, so I thought, I have a lot of time and a lot of thought into this. Not to suggest that I don't now, but back then there was certainly that greenness.
Yeah, wow. It sounds so challenging. I really admire people that do that. And so Barrhaven is your home, and this is what sort of partly running for your community is what made you decide to run for office. So what are your main kind of goals or things that you want to achieve for Barrhaven?
A lot of it is transportation-based, so both private and public transportation. I ran on a platform of improving a lot of the roads that come in and out of the community as well as through. So Prince of Wales was sort of my big project. About a month ago, we finally got it through into the Transportation Master Plan to get Prince of Wales north of Battlefield, I think all the way up to Colonnade widened, with a pathway that runs parallel to it. There's no timeline just yet because we just passed the policy portion of it. In the future, I'm hoping for Fallowfield Road as well, east of Woodruff. I'm also aiming for improved transit in general. We have the Stage 3 LRT that, as part of the Transportation Master Plan, we split into two so that we're doing baseline of Fallowfield and then Fallowfield down to Marketplace. It's sort of a way to try to phase it so we can maybe at least get LRT to Barrhaven first. Mm-hmm. And then in the future, we can really think about through Barrhaven so that you don't have that disconnect. This community was supposed to be the first to get LRT back in the early 2000s. There's still a lot of bitterness about this, especially in Chapman Mills.
There definitely is a lot of bitterness about that in this area too.
So now it looks like this community might not even get it at all, right? Line 2 ends in Riverside South. Line 1 is going to end at Baseline. And there's always that no more extensions can be constructed unless it's 100% funded by the feds in the province.
Yeah.
So part of that exercise of splitting it was to maybe see if we can find a way to phase it and make it a little more affordable. I think the appetite has come back a little bit for rail because it has stabilized over the last 2-3 years. One of the other things that I ran on was also to improve the tree cover in Barrhaven, right? We have a lot of great parks. We have a lot of excellent green spaces, but I found that outside of those green spaces and parks, and to an extent, even within some of the parks, the tree cover in Barrhaven leaves a lot to be desired, right?
Yeah.
I'm thinking even along our major roadways, like along Woodruff, along Fallowfield and Strandhurst, you have this nice boulevard alongside the roadway and you got this nice median that's just not used. And I think those are great places for trees to be planted, especially good shade trees that don't maybe release too much sap onto the road, because there's a lot of benefits beyond environmental when you do things like that.
Absolutely. I love that. I'm really, I think transit is probably everyone in Barhaven's primary concern. But, you know, especially for us as gardeners, we really like the benefits you see from trees, the lowering of the temperature and that loss of that heat island effect when you start to add trees to things is amazing. So that's really wonderful. I really like the things that you're proposing for Barhaven. It sounds really looking after our interest there, which is great. So part of the Barhaven food cupboard, I know you've been along to their annual general meetings. What do you see as the value of the food cupboard?
It's a community organization that helps the most vulnerable in Barhaven, right? I think I mentioned this at the AGM. In a suburban community like Barhaven, a lot of times the issues of hunger and poverty are sort of hidden, right? You have all these nice suburban homes, but inside you don't know that child is not getting breakfast every day, or it's a parent that is sacrificing their meals to feed their children. And so because a lot of this isn't seen so outwardly, people either don't know it exists or completely deny that there is poverty and hunger in the suburbs as well. And so the value of the Barhaven Food Cupboard is they're an organization that's focused on the Barhaven community. They don't deny that the hunger exists because they service so many families locally, but they also provide that advocacy and, I guess, more indirect education to residents in this community, because the fact that we have a food cupboard means that there is need, right?
Yeah.
There's direct benefits to the families who need it, but the problem does exist here in Barhaven as well.
Yeah, and it clearly does. Like, there's more families using the food cupboard. You're right. We often don't realize how easy it is for that to happen to anyone under any circumstance.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you're interested in environmental aspects of Barhaven in terms of like shade and tree cover, that kind of thing. Are there any other environmental projects that you're working on at the moment?
Trees, for sure. It's been a challenge to try to get some of that through city staff because they're very hesitant to add a lot of trees alongside roadways, despite all the proven benefits in a lot of other places, right? The city has this whole climate change master plan, which I honestly think a lot of it is very aspirational. A lot of it actually is not even within municipalities' scope. However, there are a lot of practical items within the climate change master plan that the city can do and achieve to sort of reach our climate goals. So things like cleaning up our fleet. We're buying more electric buses. That's sort of the big one. Personally, I think we would have been better off if we found a transition technology like hybrid buses instead of going straight to electrics. But the idea is there to sort of get us towards a place where the output of our municipal fleet is decreasing, right? A lot of our bylaw vehicles, a lot of our building inspection vehicles are now electric or hybrid. We're looking at, I think, the next order of paratransport buses in about 7 or 8 years, we're likely going to go with hybrid or electric. So those are the more practical elements of what city can do, along with planting more trees and just general education and even enforcement of existing bylaws, right? We have an idling bylaw that's not truly enforced unless someone calls into complaint. But at the same time, we also have an idling policy internally for city staff when they're in their vehicles that a lot of times is also not enforced, right? So if we expect our residents to not idle when the temperature is reasonable, then perhaps we should also expect the same of our municipal workforce, obviously, unless the vehicle is plugged into something that they got a power or traffic light, for example.
I love that. I love that you were saying that you have to sort of show the right things if you expect other people to do it. And if you're not doing it, then other people are going to say, well, they're not doing it, I'm not going to do it. So yeah, that, I love that plan. We had heard that you were doing some pollinator planting project in Barhaven. Is it Monaghan Parks?
Yeah, Mulligan Park. The entrance closest to Earl Mulligan Drive, there's an island of bushes right now, if you want to call them that. But yes, I think someone in your group, Beth Belovich, hello if you're listening, she wants to partner with the neighboring school, St. Luke's, to sort of manage that island as a pollinator garden. The unfortunate thing is, as much as I did get that file moving, we're also caught in the middle of a policy review on that item, which actually will make it easier afterwards, but it is frustrating in the meantime. The policy is basically a community-led green initiatives, I believe it's called, to allow for more community members and or organizations to take on projects like this on city property. So that island in the park is city property. I think council approved it sometime earlier this year, and staff are basically properly formalizing it right now to determine the processes, the more granular operational aspect of the policy. And once that is done, people like Beth would be able to essentially register themselves or with a partner to, you know, start a pollinator garden in disused, underused spaces like that island at Mulligan Park.
That's really good to know that, the city's working on that and facilitating that. I'm really impressed with that. That's great. Okay, now we can think of more projects. That's great.
Yeah, really.
And so coming back to planting and things, do you have any garden at home or?
I have a backyard and I don't even know if that's grass that's growing.
I get the picture.
Yeah, I keep it maintained, short and everything, but I live in a townhouse. It's a very small backyard, but like there's 7 or 8 varieties of whatever growing out of the soil there.
Yes. And so really what I'm picturing is a backyard with maybe a short fence around it and just a patch of sort of soily, grassy, weedy area.
Yeah, there's a nice big maple tree at the back of it.
Okay,
so,
nice.
So that's kind of nice. Once in a while, I've fantasized about starting a small garden with vegetables mostly.
Yeah.
Whenever I floated it with my wife, she always tells me, oh, that's going to be all you, right? But then I also just don't get around to it.
I'm just thinking that Elizabeth and I could come to your backyard and help you install a easy maintenance wild plant garden. Yeah. And you could make some mulch paths for the baby. And you would just have to whippersnip it once in the fall.
Well, is it okay that we mentioned future baby?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, congratulations are in store. Yeah. 2 months, Wilson's going to be a new dad. So you will want somewhere for playing around.
We do have the good fortune of a very large front yard as well, where we back onto a main road. So, you know, there was sort of no space to put an extra row of houses. So actually all the townhouses on my side of the street have driveways that can fit 2.5 cars. Because we also back onto a main road, everyone uses the front yard.
So then you really need that backyard to just be somewhere like a little oasis for you to relax at the end of a busy day with a baby and council work.
Yeah, I prefer doing council work indoors. But this fall, I actually am putting some work into it. I'm demolishing the old, what is essentially a rotten deck. And I'm going to till the whole thing, replant it as some nice grass. Part of me is thinking about just dumping some like wildflower seeds in there.
Okay, so may we give you some advice?
Yeah.
So, you know what? Keep it really, really simple. Demolish the deck, put in a new deck, whatever you like there. But tilling is hard work and it'll destroy the soil that's already there.
Okay.
And so what I prefer and what I've done in my own back grass is I didn't remove it. I just put down a couple of layers of cardboard on top of the area that I wanted to make into a garden bed. I then just put mulch or soil or compost or whatever down on top of that. And then come the following season, I would plant into it, or I could put in seeds before winter. Mm-hmm. Be careful of wildflower mixes, because often the wildflower mixes come with a mix that's not ideal for this area. And some of that mix might be actually plants that we would consider invasive in this area, and that they're non-natives that are going to take over. So they might be fine in other parts, but they may not be perfect for Ontario. So you might be better off choosing specific seeds as opposed to a big mix, unless you know it's coming from a reputable place that specializes in Ontario wildflowers. The Ottawa Native Plant Library or Native Seed Library is a wonderful place to get seeds from. It's free. They have little pop-ups all through sort of March to April, even into May, I think, where you just go along, you can pick up free locally grown wildflower seeds. Okay. So that's a great tip. This Saturday at Britannia, they have the Wildflower Seed Library, the same place some of the people that are volunteers that have grown from those seeds, their plants, and they've got too many plants. And so now they're going to give them away for free.
Okay.
So you can pick up free plants. Now, the only thing is you'd have to have somewhere to then put those plants.
Yeah, at the moment, I don't.
Which you don't at the moment. But they do that every year. So that's a great place to get free plants too. So there's lots of free things available.
When Elizabeth installed the huge pollinator garden here at the United Church, where the Barhaven Food Cupboard Garden is, she put 10 tons of triple mix.
Actually, it was compost.
On the site in the shape that she was planning, on the turf.
Just put it on top of dandelions, weeds, quite thick grass, and it just smothered it all. Okay. And so then I just planted straight into that. Yeah.
Okay.
So keep it simple. You don't have to till it. You don't have to necessarily remove stuff because that's really hard. You can just put a thick layer of something on top of it. And normally we're all getting deliveries in cardboard a lot of the time. And then you can just put those down and then you just put some soil on top. And you can get one of those big bags from, you know, like Greeley's, the place I'm thinking of, where you get a big yard bag of soil, dump it on, done. Then you plant. Depending on the size, but you can just start with, because you don't need to do everything all at once, can be a bit much, but you could just start with enough to cover one small area, start that, see how it goes, and then kind of go from there.
When an arborist is cutting down a non-diseased tree, that you get the arborist to drop the shredded material on your driveway and use that for your mulch paths and your mulch sitting area where you have a little table. No spaces that you need to look after except your wildflowers.
We're here for you, Wilson.
Thank you.
If you need help, we're going to give it to you.
Okay. Well, first I got to demolish that deck.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that backyard does need is probably a little bit of a lift.
Mm-hmm.
There's now a space underneath the sound barrier at the back of my house. Sorry, the back of the yard.
Right.
It's very important that you not interfere with the drainage.
Yes, that's right.
Of the municipal drainage plan. So how will you make sure that you raise the level without interfering with the municipal drainage?
At the back of my yard, there's a sound barrier. And right now there's a bit of a gap there, right? That gap was never there. So I'm not changing the overall shape of the yard. Like the slope will still be there. The flat part will still sort of slope down as it's supposed to. I have the very original plans to the house. I got this when we bought the house. And generally speaking, I'm not going to alter that, because I have dealt with cases before where a resident has modified their yard. And then, either someone's complained or because the first rainfall caused a disaster in their neighbor's backyard. I know that's something to avoid. So,
right.
Yeah, big disclaimer there for what I'm planning for the backyard.
Yeah. Well, that's good to hear from our local councillor that you're following the council guidelines. Mm-hmm. I like that. Well, listen, thank you so much. It was really wonderful to have you here today. We're very happy to hear all the plans you have for Barhaven, and really happy to hear that you're planning a garden. Hopefully we're going to come back and ask you about that and see where it went to. We're not going to let you not do it.
Yeah, you have my email.
We're following up. Don't you worry. And thank you for listening to Gardens for Everybody, and check in with us next time.
Thank you, Wilson.
Thank you.